Please be seated. Tonight is a night for big theology and big introductions, apparently. Thank you, David. I know that's why we're all here tonight, some big theology. I bet you've all spent weeks talking about theology at the dinner table, grabbing snatches of theological reflection over coffee, discussions of theology and the incarnation while you've been lining up to buy your presents in the stores. I'm sure you have, haven't you? No, me neither, to be honest. Actually, I'm more likely to find myself discussing decolonization and patriarchal structures and social justice over the dinner table, but that's the joy of being married to an academic who's also a politician. But anyway, back to the opening statement. Tonight is a night for big theology. Ein arche, ein hologos, hologos pros ton theon. Impressed? I've been practicing. It is actually, it's not something I can do much of, but this is the one Greek phrase, Koine Greek, the Greek of the New Testament, as we call it, the Christian scriptures. It's the one phrase I have memorized from 25 years ago when I did my Greek classes at theological school, because it's something that struck me so vividly. The translation, if it was done literally, would say, in beginning was the Word. And the Word was toward God. We translate it now as in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. It's a big concept. It talks in mythic terms about the very start of all that is, the beginning of the universe, and the act of creation through the Word, the life-giving Word of God, the Logos, as it is in the Greek. That is God, yet in a different way of expressing or talking of God. This is kind of mind-bending stuff. It's the kind of stuff that philosophers and theologians love to muse on and write about and talk over, think about, and try and communicate something of the many depths and layers that there are within these ancient texts, which continue to inform and challenge and inspire our faith, our living and vibrant faith. And Christmas is filled with big ideas. From the creator and the creation of the universe, to the idea that God in some way, God the Logos, the Word, takes flesh, completely human, yet in balance with an expression of divinity which is beyond our understanding. We use terms like incarnation, which means to become flesh. Carnos, from which that word comes, is from the same root as carnal, which you may have heard of, or carnivore, which I've definitely heard of. We use these ideas and we sing them in our carols. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, or very God, begotten, not created, lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb. And in a world where we often turn into ourselves, where we're encouraged to fear other people, to expect others to be after what we have, or to judge others based on the color of their skin, their cultural background, their poverty, their sickness, their disability, their sexuality, their age, their education, occupation, or employment. In such a world, we need big ideas. And Christmas provides them, if you'll excuse the phrase, with bells on. We hear the Christmas story begin with the God over all, the God who is over and within everything, the God beyond comprehension. We hear in the carols that we sing and the Bible readings that we have the story of angels singing glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill to all people. We hear the God that loved the world so much that he sent the Logos, his Son, to bring life. We need these ideas and aspirations to prevent us becoming smaller in our minds, or like the Grinch, with our hearts. These big ideas, which our music director David reminds me are glimpses of the transcendent, like music or poetry or the art that we have in our church here. In these big ideas, we are taken out of ourselves to something bigger than just me and what I like, me and what I want, me and what I experience. It's a reminder to those of us who seek to be people of faith that this whole journey of faith is not about what I want and what I choose to believe, what I prefer. It's about being drawn out of ourselves, being part of a community, learning, growing, and loving, struggling together, learning to look and live beyond ourselves, instead living and loving expansively, showing the compassion of the divine to all people without condition. This is the light in the darkness that the writer of that Gospel of John refers to, the light that cannot be extinguished, something that helps us to see beyond ourselves, to see our part in the whole, to see our own value, our place in community, our part in the whole human family, in the whole universe. Big concepts are important, crucial in a world where we are encouraged to shrink into a consumerist way of living, to hold on to and hoard that which we have, to find meaning in things rather than in people and in experience. Big concepts are important, and yet, in the constant way of the Christian story, even the big ideas are not enough. Strange as it may sound, everything is not enough. Universal, cosmic, and transcendent is not enough. For in this story of the birth of God made human, we hear not just of a distant, remote, divine being, a God who is only beyond, only a concept. The story of incarnation is also a very small story, a very particular story, a very human story. Whether or not we take these multiple accounts of the beginning of Jesus' life as literal or mythical, there is a very clear message in these stories that this is not just about big ideas or abstract concepts. It's a story of a God making God's self vulnerable, trusting in the courage and strength of a young woman to bear and nurture the one who will be God in human form. A story of a God who refuses to remain distant, but enters into our human story. Not in disguise, not in power or might, but in poverty, soon to be a political refugee. It's a story that reminds us of a God who does not just know theoretically the reality of human life, in all its joys and challenges, its pain and pleasure, but a God who's lived it from the inside. This is the God of big theology and small moments. The God glimpsed in mountains and the person we pass on the street. The God we find in silence and in song, who reaches out to us in the needy and the rich. The God alongside the refugee and the prisoner. The God within the naked and the suffering. It's the balance between the God beyond us and the God with us and within us. Seeing that this God draws us out and calls us to look within. Like all spirituality, it's pretty messy, and we need to pay attention to it. And like all spirituality, it is life-giving and world-transforming, and we are all invited to take a part in it. As that great philosopher bard Bruce Coburn sang, like a stone in the surface of a still river, driving the ripples on forever, redemption rips through the surface of time in the cry of a tiny babe. And there are others who know about this miracle birth. The humblest of people catch a glimpse of their worth. For it isn't to the palace that the Christ child comes, but to shepherds and street people, hookers and bums. And the message is clear, if you have ears to hear, that forgiveness is given for your guilt and your fears. It's a Christmas gift you don't have to buy. There's a future shining in a baby's eye. And so if you don't feel like talking theology over the turkey tomorrow, think instead how the reality with God with us can be lived out as we treat all of our neighbors as loved and valued, even those we find unlovely and unlovable. For in Christ, the Word made flesh, that's exactly what God shows us to do. May the joy of Christmas, the wonder of God made human, be yours this Christmas time and always. Amen.